You found the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
You're listening to the Maria Sanchez Show on LA Talk Radio and MariaSanchezShow.com. The Maria Sanchez Show, a conversation, not a confrontation, on LA Talk Radio and MariaSanchezShow.com.
Good morning. This is Maria Sanchez, and thank you so much for listening to the Maria Sanchez Show, heard here weekday mornings live on LATalkRadio.com, Channel 2, 9 o'clock Pacific. And then later every day we post the podcast. You can find it at MariaSanchezShow.com, TheMariaSanchezShow.com, iTunes, and Stitcher. So there's no reason that you have to miss a day. And you can also download it to your apps, an app to your iPhone or your Android or your tablets, so that you can take us wherever you are. And we like to keep you company. So thank you for joining us. Aaron Hernandez is in the news again today. He's the former New England Patriots tight end. And we have a sports agent and attorney visiting with us in a little bit to talk about the case. There's been a man who was arrested in Florida yesterday, agreed to return to Massachusetts to face a charge in the murder case against, and that sounds like they're going to get some probably juicy testimony from him. And then there's also talk about his jersey, so we'll get into that. And then later on in the broadcast, there is a new business in town, and it deals with infrared and therapeutic infrared and turbosonic sound vibration therapies. So we're going to get into what is that and what does that mean exactly. But we've got two events going on this month, and guys, pardon me, we're going to take care of you next month. Maybe we'll do a beer tasting or something. And women, of course, enjoy beer tastings too. But these two events that we're promoting and behind, getting behind, if you will, involve women. One is the Heels and Wheels, which is a motorcycle ride that I am the Grand Marshal of, and that is taking place on Sunday, July 14th. It's through the Ventura Harley-Davidson dealership. It is the 8th annual, and the funds go to Community Memorial Healthcare Foundation, their breast center. And this breast center helps low-income, underinsured, and uninsured women get breast help. So it couldn't be a more desirable location. And if you can believe it, it costs $30 to register. That includes a T-shirt and lunch. And then, of course, this magnificent ride. It's usually about 80 miles or so. I've been on the ride three or four times. I've been the Grand Marshal. This is the third time they've asked me. So it's really an honor and do appreciate it. It's all rides. So it's all women, all rides. That means that you don't have to ride a Harley in order to be in the ride. But you have to be a woman. It has to be a motorcycle. And then if you don't register by a certain date, it's $40. So all that information is on our website at MariaSanchezShow.com. You click on the banner and it takes you right to where you need to go to register. So please join us for this very, very worthy cause. And then the second thing that we're promoting is a fun girls' night out. And all of you who were fans of 50 Shades of Grey, there's a musical out called Spank. And it has nothing to do with the book, or the book's author doesn't endorse this production, but it was at the Nokia Theater in Los Angeles and all over the country. So it's coming around again, and we are hosting an opening night, girls' night out, and opening night is Tuesday, July 16th. Also, if you go to our website at MariaSanchezShow.com, you can see about that, because if you mention in the promo code Maria, you get 15% off the ticket prices. Now, if you can't join us on Tuesday, July 16th, which is opening night, it's in town for, I think, about 10 days or so. You still get the discounted tickets if you enter Maria in the promo code. So while we don't want to miss you on Tuesday, July 16th, we do know that you might have other plans. And if you did want to see it and do your own girls' night out, you can still get a discount. So avail yourself of that. It's for free, 15% off. There's going to be a no-host bar prior to. They're going to have a special Spanx cocktail that they create. And then after the show, there's going to be a meet-and-greet with the cast. And the guy who plays the lead is pretty darn sexy. So it's a good time, girls. And so, guys, as I said, we'll do something that is more male-oriented next month. So stay tuned for that. So the NSA leaker is in the news again. Edward Snowden, he broke his silence yesterday for the first time since he fled to Moscow over a week ago. He's in his statement, he accused the Obama administration of deception in a campaign to prevent him from finding political asylum and of leaving me a stateless person by revoking his U.S. passport. So he's applied to 21 countries for asylum worldwide. And apparently he gave the asylum requests to somebody in Moscow, and then they took it to the appropriate embassies. And so far, everyone has said no. Austria, no. You have to be on Austrian soil in order to submit a request. Bolivia, no response. Brazil, no. Brazil will not grant asylum. China, no response. Cuba, no response. Ecuador says no. President Rafael Correa said he is not considering his asylum request. Correa said his government would not give Snowden an authorized travel document to extract himself from the Moscow airport. And he also said that by giving him documents to fly to Moscow, that they had made a mistake. So he's changed his tune. Finland, no. Finnish law requires you to be in the country to apply. France, no response. Germany, no response. Iceland, no response. India said no. And they did this on Twitter. India's foreign ministry said, we see no reason to accede to the Snowden request. Italy, no response. Ireland, no. A person has to be in the state to ask for asylum. The Netherlands, no response. Nicaragua, no response. Norway, nope. In order to apply for asylum, you have to be on Norwegian soil. Poland, nope. Foreign minister wrote on his Twitter account, I will not give a positive recommendation. Look at people going to the social media. It shows you how strong that is. Russia, no. Snowden withdrew his request after Vladimir Putin said that he would be welcomed only if he stopped his work aimed at bringing harm to the United States. And he even said, if you can believe these words that are going to pass my lips. Spain, nope. It has to be made by a person who is in Spain. Switzerland, no response. Venezuela, possible. On a visit to Moscow, the president said he would consider an asylum request and said the whistleblower deserves the world's protection. But asked whether he would take Snowden back to Venezuela with him, he replied, what we're taking with us are multiple agreements that we're signing with Russia, including oil and gas. So they're all meeting in Moscow for big, big things, and it just so happens that Snowden's in the middle of this all. Apparently, he's still in legal limbo because he's in the transit area of the Moscow airport. They also said that if he was to leave the airport in a car, they would be able to seize him, that would be considered foreign territory. So he's basically, he's stuck. The U.S. Justice Department has weighed in. What they've said that he's not marooned. He's not with anywhere to go. Since he is still a United States citizen and his country is willing to take him back, the State Department is prepared to issue individuals wanted on felony charges a one-entry travel document to return home. So again, the requests were given to a Russian official at the airport and were to be delivered to the appropriate embassies in Moscow. So Putin also said that he has no intention of handing Snowden over to the United States. His quote is, Russia has never given up anyone to anybody and does not plan to, and nobody ever gave anyone up to us. So Putin suggested that the surveillance methods that Snowden revealed were justified in fighting terrorism if carried out lawfully. So the dude, it looks like his options have dried up. You know, it makes you wonder, I don't know, I guess what they say about, I mean, he's a criminal because he's been charged with felony issues. Did you not think it through? I guess because Julian Assange is being kept safe in the embassy in the UK, that maybe he thought the same thing would happen to him. So talk about a man with nowhere to go. Just very, very chilling, I would think. So our first guest is David Willig. He is a international sports agent and attorney, and he's going to be speaking with us about the New England
David
Patriots.
Willick.
Hey, David, good morning or good afternoon to you. This is Maria Sanchez. You're live on the program.
Good morning, Maria. How are you?
I'm terrific. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
David, before we drill down into the details about the New England Patriots former tight end Aaron Hernandez, you are both an international sports agent and an attorney. Do you have to be an attorney to be an agent?
No, you don't have to be, but a lot of times when you are an attorney, the sports league or whoever is the governing body of that sport will exempt you from certain requirements. And I happen to believe that attorneys do make the best sports agents because it does involve contracts, and that's what we do as attorneys.
Mm-hmm. And the art of negotiation is something that I'm fascinated by because you start creating something and then somebody else has to agree to that when we talk about value, if you will.
Sure.
How do you start that process?
Well, it's a lot of psychology, even from the very beginning. Certainly you have to have an idea where you want to end up. There are certain, I guess, platitudes you could say that everybody knows. You know, you always want to ask for more than you think you'll end up getting, things like that. But obviously when you're in the thick of it, it's a lot more complicated than that. And it is a kind of a psychological game, if you will,
mm-hmm.
get where you want to go in the negotiation.
Because one of the examples I give is that, like Cameron Diaz makes $5 million, say, voicing a cartoon character on a feature film, right? And
right.
I'm a female who does voice work, too. I do it for $250,000. So they could save a lot of money. And the kids don't know who
sure.
Cameron Diaz is. But somehow the folks who make those decisions decided that Cameron Diaz was worth the $5 million to do that. So that's where the psychology comes into place, I guess, right? That you're saying, well, she's a superstar, so of course she's worth that.
That's part of the psychology. But the fact is sometimes those superstars do have a distinctive voice that can be distinguished. Actually, Maria, my sister, does voiceovers, and I happened to hear her one day just out of the blue, and I recognized her voice.
Mm-hmm.
So some people have a distinctive enough voice where even kids might recognize it in an animated feature.
And then let's get drilled down to Aaron Hernandez, because there's, unfortunately for him, I guess, there's new news about this man, Ernest Wallace, who is facing a charge of accessory after the fact. And
right.
I guess they're extraditing him from Florida to Massachusetts, and that seems to me like that's going to be some evidence or testimony that's going to kind of seal the deal. But, of course, he's innocent, I guess, Aaron, until proven guilty. But he's being held without bail.
That's right.
And what's that about?
That's pretty typical of a premeditated murder case. It's unusual that a first-degree murder suspect is let out on bail. His defense attorneys tried twice to persuade the judge that he wouldn't be a flight risk, which is the main criteria to look at for bail. But it's still a murder case and first-degree murder, and I guess in this case, Aaron Hernandez was treated just like any other suspect, and he wasn't let out of jail in the meantime.
And then I guess over the weekend they examined his body about the tattoos to see if he had gang affiliations. Why would that matter?
Well, it might matter in terms of the dealings with the population inside the jail. It might matter in terms of whether there are other co-conspirators outside in the wide world who might have been involved with this. It might involve the motivation for the crime that occurred and whether might have been some sort of contract killing or a gang initiation or something like that, something in the nature of gang affiliation or a revenge attack. But it looks like the sheriff reviewed the tattoos and doesn't really have too many concerns. And it's possible that even if there were some gang-affiliated tattoos, they might have been from some time in the past when they say that Hernandez may have been involved in gangs when he was younger. It may be something that he tried very hard to get out of and succeeded by becoming a football star.
And then there was the claim or the suspicion that he might have been involved in the double murder that occurred earlier, that I guess there's extenuating circumstances that are implicating him perhaps in that scenario as well.
Right. The double murder, they're saying, might have also stemmed from a nightclub fight about a year or so ago, where he kind of stalked some people that he had a disagreement with in a nightclub and just shot them. He's also been sued civilly down in South Florida for shooting a friend of his in the face and leaving him blind in one eye after a night of clubbing. Curiously, that civil plaintiff would not cooperate with law enforcement authorities on the criminal side when the actual event occurred. So it looks like there's a building of a series of violent incidents involving Aaron Hernandez over the last couple of years.
And then I heard that there have been 28 NFL players that have been arrested or somehow in the law since the Super Bowls. So what does that say?
Well, I think a couple more have been arrested since that figure first came out in the press. What it says, I think, is NFL players are basically young men. They start a career at around 22, maybe 23 years old or younger. The average NFL career is only about 3+ years anyway. So they start out as young, rambunctious young men. Obviously, they're involved in a game that involves roughness and a little bit of violence, even if it is sport. And so part of it might be just the roughness that they have as being football players, and part of it might be a kind of a sense of privilege that they can pretty much do what they want.
Testosterone and thugs, too, right? I mean...
that's sort of, I guess, a sub-context of the first one that I mentioned. They're young men, and they're rambunctious, and they want to do things. And, even young men who are not star athletes can get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
We know that.
You know, what I find troubling, and you must see it more often than the rest of us, is that the people who have such promise let it somehow go, or they don't think about the higher good, or they just can't help themselves, or and then the money too, and the entourage, and how people run through it, and then they end up not having what they should have when their careers are over.
Sure.
Seems tragic. Now, I know that the NBA actually helps tutor the young men to help them know how to make better informed decisions. Does the NFL do anything like that?
I believe the NFL does organize a kind of symposium for new players. I'm not really sure how much in-depth they go into it. My impression was that most of it was really devoted to surviving the sudden riches and sudden wealth that come from being a successful professional athlete. And perhaps as a part of that, it also reminds them to stay on the right side of the law. Don't get involved in contract murders or things like that. But it's very hard to control people's behavior outside the field. And, people get involved in things, and sometimes, as you know, it's a surprise to everybody. A lot of people are saying they're surprised at Aaron Hernandez in spite of the history of some violent events. A lot of people are very surprised and didn't really expect this from him.
And he signed a 5-year contract worth $40 million last year, but since he got released, obviously he's not making any of that money, right? And they didn't do retroactively take the pay, can they?
Depending on what the contract says, they might be able to go after him and take some of that money back. I understand that the Patriots, in this case, canceled his contract within about a couple of hours of the announcement of his arrest. I'm not privy to the contracts, but I understand that it was based on some sort of a morals clause where some kind of misbehaviors can cause the termination of the agreement. That appears to be what happened in this case.
And I was curious about that, too, is because if you're presumed innocent until found guilty, that seemed like, wow, the rest, they assumed his guilt and let him go. But you're saying because there may have been a morals clause, it wasn't about guilt or innocence. It was just about the fact that he got arrested.
It's not even the fact about that he got arrested. It might even be the fact that it could be just bad press, depending on how the contract is drafted. Plus, the contract is a matter of civil law. It's not a criminal case. So it's not a question of whether there's a presumption of innocence or guilt in that regard. And they can agree beforehand how they will dispose of certain events as they occur.
And as the founder of the American International Sports Management, LLC, what is that about?
Well, it's a sports agency. We represent athletes. Mostly we represent American basketball players looking to be placed in professional leagues overseas, particularly in Europe and South America, although we have worked a little bit in Asia as well.
And is that on their off season, or it's folks who have retired and they still have some juju and they can do that internationally?
It's all of those things, Maria. It could be a brand new player out of college who maybe didn't get drafted the other night in the NBA draft. It could be an NBA player who wants to extend his career by a few more years and make some pretty good money in a professional league overseas before he finally hangs it up. So it could be all of those things, really.
And anything else you'd like to add, David, what we can look forward to as the case? I would imagine this once this guy comes up from Florida that he's an accessory after the fact. He'll probably testify, and what is that called, a plea?
He might make a plea agreement and then testify against Aaron Hernandez. Based on what I've seen in the press, it looks like he might have been the one to dispose of the firearm.
Mm.
Arrested as an accessory after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Although they say he was with them that night, and they don't really know who actually did the shooting. But it sounds like he may have driven down to Florida afterward and maybe threw the gun away on his trip down.
And they say he turned himself in.
That's right. He turned himself in because he knew that he was wanted, and he's apparently waiving extradition. He's not going to wait for them to order him to go back to Massachusetts. He's willing to go back on his own.
Hmm. So it sounds like ripe for the picking.
Yes.
And David, what about contact information? Website or phone number? Or what would you like to share?
I'd like to share my sports agency website. That's AI Sports, America International, AISports.us. And I've got an email account for anybody who's interested in learning more about playing professionally overseas. That's AISports37@gmail.com. So I'd love to hear from some of your listeners, anybody who's interested in international sports. I'd love to hear from them.
So it's aisports37@gmail.com.
That's the email, and the website is aisports.us. And as I say, I invite all of your listeners to come and check out our agency.
And we will post that later on today on our website, so when we post the podcast, so
that's
people
great.
Can refer to it. David, thank you for your time this morning. We do appreciate it.
Thank you, Maria. It's been great being on the show with you.
I appreciate your time. David Willig, and he is a sports agent and an attorney. And again, the art of negotiation always fascinates me. So today we have news. President Barack Obama and his predecessor, President George W. Bush, stood side by side in Tanzania to commemorate the victims of the Al-Qaeda bombing of the U.S. Embassy 15 years ago. So the two men bowed their heads in silence at a memorial stone in the new embassy compound, and in honor of the 10 Tanzanians that were killed and the 85 Americans and Tanzanians that were wounded in the bombing, which took place on August 7th, 1998. So I guess they took advantage of the fact that President Obama was there, and then President Bush was there because he and Laura opened up a rededicated clinic yesterday to help with cervical cancer issues. So I guess they go to Africa at least once a year. They then briefly spoke to survivors, but there was little personal interaction between the two of them. With up to 5,000 personnel on the ground, the United States now has more troops in Africa than at any point since its Somalia intervention two decades ago. On the same day as the Tanzanian attack, Al-Qaeda also bombed the U.S. Embassy in Kenya. Those assaults obviously provided the precursor to the 9/11 Al-Qaeda attacks on our cities and the subsequent U.S.-led invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq, both ordered by then-President Bush. But on his three-nation African tour, President Obama offered praise for the former president and described President Bush's program to battle HIV and AIDS there as a crowning achievement. President Bush is highly regarded in much of Africa for his legacy of support. This is according to Reuters. While President Obama has disappointed many by paying it little attention, security concerns aside, despite his African heritage. Again, that's according to Reuters. When we are preparing for the program, we look to a lot of sources to get our stories and also to see if there's collaboration, because I've seen it where the same story has three different set of facts in it. And so I get an international and then a national, and then a network, and then another aggregator. And we'll probably go, I don't know, to 10 different sites and look and see what's trending, what people are talking about, and their point of view. So this coming from Reuters, it's interesting because this is kind of an opinion there where it says that he's disappointed many by paying it little attention. I had the pleasure and the honor of going to Senegal in November of 2008. I went with a group called Women Travel for Peace, and it now has a different name, but the point was that it's about women traveling to other parts in the world to help empower women in that part of the country for various reasons. And the reason that I went was with this group that was going, there was five of us no one knew anybody. I was the only one from the West Coast. The other four were from the East Coast. And we met in Senegal, and where President Obama was over the weekend. And we went to a village that we were building a well for the women in this village. The women in those, first of all, it's a polygamous society. The men can have four wives, and they call them sister wives. We met a gal. She was the 19th child of her father, and her mother was his fourth wife. So that's an example of what that culture is like. And this little village, the men tended to the livestock such that it was, and the women were to the agriculture. So in general, in Senegal at least, they have as much water as the monsoons allow. So they have wells that are very shallow. So when it rains, they fill up, and then when it's gone, it's gone. So the project that we participated in was that we built a well that went below their water table. And I was there when the water table got tapped. So imagine that you're digging down, it's dirt. And then we had a guy down at the bottom who he was taking, keep in mind this is Africa, so there's no equipment, there's no machinery, there's just, hand, manual labor. So this guy down in the well had buckets, and we had rope attached to the buckets. So he would fill it up with the dirt, and we would pull it up, and we had like three going at any time. So he gets down deep enough, and all of a sudden, the water comes rushing into the well. I thought he was going to drown at first because it just... And he's looking up at us. I'll never forget this. And there's mud and water all over his face, and his sweet little eyes are looking up at us, and we're going, yes, that's we did it. So we went lower than that, and then the well filled up, and then the women were able to take water and to water their crops so that now they were going to have agriculture year-round, not just as long as the monsoon water added. So what that was doing is then it was giving them more opportunity for more abundance in their own lives, as well as we were hoping it was going to allow them to be able to sell their produce because they had extra and thus generate some income for the village, for this community. So it was also quite dicey because the men of the village were threatened by the fact that their women might be gaining some independence or autonomy, if you will, because of generating revenue. So we also brokered conversations between the men to assuage them that this was a win-win-win for everybody, because 12 months out of the year, because increased production, because of no more issues about starvation, and because of the opportunity to generate some revenue. So the women also then wanted to talk about what they could do to make it easier to get the water out of the well instead of manual labor. If you go to our website, I believe there's pictures of me with one of the other gals that traveled there. We're at the well. We're in the garb of the Senegalese women because they had a blessing of the well when we were done, and there was a huge ceremony, and it was a celebration like you can't believe. It was, in fact, there is a video of that celebration on the website at mariasanchezshow.com. And so the gals wanted to talk about what they were going to, how they could get a crank to, in other words, you turn it to put the rope in the bucket up and down, instead of pulling it as we were doing. And so we facilitated that conversation because that cost money. How much did it cost? $25. And we weren't going to give that to them. We decided that we had done enough, and it wasn't that any one of us couldn't have afforded to write them or give them the $25, but we wanted to empower them to take care of themselves so that they could save money from the extra crops that they were going to harvest and sell and put it aside for the crank. And then we also empowered them to help women in the neighboring villages so that they too could have some kind of autonomy and independence. So this all took place in Senegal, which President Bush and his family toured Goree, G-O-R-R-E, which is the island where they think slavery originated from, and settled by the Dutch in the 1600s. And we took that excursion, too, before we went into the village, because once we left Dakar, which Goree, it's a ferry ride to get to that island. Talk about just horrific, I mean, the stories that they talk about, what they did with the folks that were there and how they treated them. And the ones that were brought in and they thought didn't have any promise of making the passage across to America, either because they were too old or too infirm. If they were underweight, they fattened them up so that they could make the voyage. But when they decided that some just there was no hope or whatever, they used to just throw them into the ocean where the sharks were. So, I mean, it's just horrific. So Senegal is also on the Atlantic Ocean, which was interesting because we stayed, I think it was the one night before we went into the village, and our resort, which it was kind of a resort hotel, was right on the water. And I was thinking to myself, just right across the way is the United States. It's the Atlantic Ocean, and here we are in Africa. So this is just in today. This is news because it comes out of the Vatican, although the officials spoke on condition of anonymity because these cases are covered by pontifical secret. But they're saying that Pope John Paul today was cleared with the final obstacle before being made a saint. So a commission of cardinals and bishops met today to consider the case and have signed off on it, leaving only Pope Francis to approve it. A Vatican official confirmed that the decision had been taken some time back and that today's meeting was essentially a formality. So they're discussing a possible canonization date to be December 8th, which is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, which is a major feast for us Catholics. Then that John Paul could be canonized together with Pope John Paul the 23rd, who called the Second Vatican Council. So that's news today. Also in the news, this heat wave is continuing. It doesn't seem like it's going to abate anytime soon. So it's a tourist attraction to Death Valley. Record heat is drawing tourists, and the Death Valley National Park has issued an open invitation for folks to come and celebrate the 100th anniversary of the hottest ever temperature on the planet. So those of you who talk about global warming and climate change, here's something to think about. The thermometer registered 134 degrees on July 10th, 1913, at what's now the appropriate name settlement of Furnace Creek. So they're having a celebration. It starts at 12 noon on July 10th. The Furnace Creek Visitor Center will host a series of discussions led by meteorologists and rangers on a variety of topics related to the region's extreme climate. At 1:50 p.m., Weather Underground historian Christopher Burt will explain how Death Valley recently snatched the temperature record previously claimed by El Aziza, Libya. Park Service employees will also discuss how they cope with life at the hottest place on Earth. At 4 o'clock, visitors can join park rangers for a ritual that's taken place every day since record-keeping began in 1911, and that's the reading of the official thermometer at the Furnace Creek Weather Station. On Sunday, day before yesterday, the temperature peaked at 129 degrees. That set a record as the hottest June temperature ever recorded in the United States. And since July and August are typically the hottest months in the Mojave Desert, it might go to even higher. So Death Valley's elevation is 214 feet below sea level. And that reminded me when I have shared with you that I made a Harley ride last August to Sturgis, which is the world's largest annual motorcycle rally in South Dakota. And we passed through, it was August like 3rd, I think. We met in Los Angeles about 8 o'clock and we hit the road, and our first stop was in Wyoming, I think. So we had to go through California and Nevada. So at 12 noon, we were in Las Vegas and it was 120 degrees. And that doesn't count the heat that's blowing back up from the black pavement that we're riding on. Yours truly had on full leathers, you know, chaps, leather jacket, full helmet, in that heat. Did not have a cup holder, so I couldn't hydrate until we stopped, which fortunately we stopped every 100 miles. We did that for several reasons. One was for gas, two was for potty breaks, and three was for hydration. And I'm thinking to myself, this is my vacation. I'm in 120-degree weather with full leathers. Three of the guys got sun poisoning or sun sickness. One of them, who was leading us, all of a sudden he just pulls over, and we're like, okay. And so we all pull over, and next thing we know, he's throwing up. And he's getting, like, delirious and stuff like that. And so, fortunately, that didn't happen to me, but that's because I hydrate. So, summertime and the living is easy. Sad news is Pierce Brosnan's daughter, Charlotte, died on Friday, June 28th, after a three-year battle with ovarian cancer. She was surrounded by her loved ones, including her husband and two children, ages 14 and 18. She was 48 years old. Her mother was Bronson's first wife, and he adopted Charlotte and her brother Christopher after their biological dad died. Charlotte's mother, Cassandra Harris, also died of ovarian cancer in 1991, and her mother also died of the disease. And guys, if you want to catch a woman and you want them to think that you're healthier and better looking than another dude, you need to wear a plain white T-shirt with a black T, the letter T as in Tom, across the front. It has to do with a man's waist-chest ratio, or WCR, which is seen as an indicator of masculinity. Researchers put a group of women looking at male bodies in plain white T-shirts and had them grade the men on three factors: attractiveness, health, and intelligence. The women repeated the process with pictures of men wearing T-shirts with upright and upside-down T-shapes, and they graded them again. And what they found was that the men with the upright T on their shirts were seen as healthier and better looking, and the men with the upside down T were seen as less attractive and less healthy. So it's all in a T. So now we're visiting with Claire Thompson. She is the proprietor of something called the Oasis Wellness Center. It's a health and wellness spa, and she's got some state-of-the-art procedures.
Hello.
There. Claire, good morning. You're on the Maria Sanchez Show. Thank you for making yourself available this morning.
Hi, happy to be here.
Thank you. So you offer holistic and cutting-edge therapies at Oasis Wellness Center, including the state-of-the-art infrared sauna and therapeutic infrared jade massage, as well as turbosonic sound vibration therapy. Can you let us know in layman terms what that is?
Okay, in layman's terms. Okay, the infrared saunas aren't like regular saunas in that they infrared allows it to the heat to go deeper into your tissues. It goes into your muscles, it goes into your joints, it stimulates your metabolism, it raises your body temperature so you're burning more calories. It simulates a fever and the benefits of a fever, the good things that a fever does in that it raises your body temperature so that it can take care of business as far as getting rid of bacteria, getting rid of viruses, any parasites you have in your body. And it also elevates your white blood count so that you're able to take care of, you know, anything that's bothering you, you know, a problem in your body as far as a virus or a bacterial infection.
So by elevating your heat, then you're naturally killing off things?
Yes, yes.
And how does it know? How does the heat know to kill off the bad and not the good?
Well, it's not the heat. It's that the heat simulates in your body. You know, that's what a fever does naturally. When you're exposed to a virus or bacteria, your body temperature elevates to take care of this negative bad invader that will cause you to be ill. And how it does that is when your body gets hotter, it mobilizes the white blood cells, and the white blood cells are what take care of the bacteria or the virus to get it out of your system.
And how does that differ than, say, like just going out on a hot day like today?
A hot day like today, your body is just trying to cool itself. And it doesn't, and that's like a traditional sauna. Traditional saunas just are on the top of the skin. They really don't, they make you hot. They raise your heart rate. They raise your blood pressure. Infrared sauna, it doesn't have to be as hot to be really effective. And it soaks deeper into the tissue. So for people with fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, regular arthritis, even just sore muscles from having a big workout, it lowers lactic acid. It decreases inflammation, and people walk out of a sauna and they feel so good. First, I don't know why, but I'm reading through literature, it releases endorphins, so it makes you feel good.
Hmm.
It also de-stresses you, so it lowers your stress response. People, and even on these hot days, we have people coming in, and I'm so surprised because it's so hot outside, but you feel so good after a sauna, after an infrared sauna.
So can you describe the unit itself, or is it a room, or how do
you avail
yourself?
It's a room. We have a sauna in different rooms, and we lock, the person goes in there and locks the door, and the sauna is theirs. And we say, if you get too hot, open the door and cool off, but allow the infrared heat to keep flowing on your body. So that's the most important thing, is to be in there at least a half an hour, 20 minutes, at least a half, 20 minutes. But beneficial is a half an hour, and sweat. And when you sweat, you're getting rid of toxins. Your skin is your largest organ, and we don't sweat enough. a therapeutic sweat. It's a different type of sweat when it comes from deeper in the body.
And then, how do you use infrared with massages?
Well, it's called a Seragem bed, and you lie down on this bed, and there's heated jade balls. It's infrared heat, and it heats up the jade balls. Jade is a great conductor of heat, and the jade balls go up and down either side of your spine, and people who have gone to chiropractors for years, once they try the bed, say, I don't need my chiropractor anymore. It lifts the it lifts and opens up the space between the vertebrae, and it warms it up, so you get that warmth, and so you get increased flexibility of your spine just lying there. It can be pretty intense the first time, but it's really, really therapeutic and really healthy for the spine.
So you lay on your back?
You lie on your back.
Okay. And then the turbosonic sound vibration therapy, what's that about?
Yes, the turbosonic is you stand on a plate. It's like the old-fashioned vibration plates, but it's sound. It's sound waves that move through your body, and it's vibrating through sound. And we're able to program the machine so that it can hit whatever's bothering you. So someone will come in and say, my low back is bothering me. And we can calibrate the machine so that it simulates the vibration right into your lower back, which you increases blood supply to the area. It mimics jumping on a mini trampoline for a half an hour, and you're only on there for 10 minutes. So it stimulates every cell in your body. And what you don't realize when you're standing on the plate and it's vibrating, that subconsciously your body is flexing muscles all throughout your body to maintain you in an upright position and to stabilize your body in an upright position. And it just feels good. It feels good, but you burn a lot of calories and you sleep better at night.
So
I don't know why, but women my age say, I slept so well last night. And it's the vibration. It kind of shakes some things loose, and then you do the sound vibration, then you do the bed, and then you do the sauna, and it's a great way to detox, and you feel exhilarated.
And the detoxing then comes either through the perspiration or through urinating, because you're pushing things out, and then your body is expelled.
And you need to be well hydrated. You need to drink lots of liquids, and the sauna really moves things through the system.
And can you hydrate while you're in the infrared sauna?
Yes.
It's not too hot to have a beverage with you?
No, that's the interesting thing. Your container will get warm, but the liquid inside the container stays cool.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's the waves are going on the human body and going into your tissues, and it's really interesting. So my glass container will sit there, and my container will be warm, but the liquid will be cool.
So, Claire, as a registered nurse, you understand science about health. This seems to take it a different way. How are you justifying that, having been clinically trained, if you will? Because this is almost an Eastern philosophy, is it not?
Well, it's kind of interesting. We have a lot of literature from traditional MDs who love infrared saunas, who bought infrared saunas. Dr. Mercola has bought one of our beds from us. Mark Hyman, who is kind of, these physicians are into alternative stuff, but they're traditionally trained MDs.
Mm-hmm.
and they're open to supplements. They're open to you know, healing modalities from around the world. And in his book, Mark Hyman, about ultra metabolism, talks about saunas and how healthy saunas are for you. I don't understand why, about the endorphin production, why they make you feel so good, and why it has, it kind of seems, it levels out the nervous system. So for people who have anxiety, we have a few clients who come and say, I'm so anxious, and they leave just completely relaxed. So it de-stresses, and I don't know if that's raising the body temperature and getting rid of toxins, and if toxins are at the cause of this anxiety, or I just know that it makes people feel better, and it is recommended by MDs.
And how, so this is, I mean, what, almost everything that you've spoken about, I didn't know anything of, and I consider myself fairly enlightened and also an alternative sort of person. Is this now becoming mainstream? Are you still cutting edge, or where do you see Oasis Wellness Center in that regard?
Well, I'll say that it's, as far as cutting edge, infrared therapy has been around. We have a Russian woman who comes in, and she says, we've had infrared for hundreds of years. You Americans, and I'm thinking, ha, 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 you know, yeah. We Americans, we're cutting edge. We're on the, you know, we're ahead of everything as far as, you know, medicine. But it's true, infrared therapy has been around for a long, long time, and it's around the world, and it's, people would put an infrared heating pad on their body if they had a stomach ache or problems, and they have used it around the world. So it's not brand new. It's been around a long, long time. And infrared is the heating rays of the sun. It's the warming rays that you feel, the warmth of the sun. That's infrared heat.
How do they make it, the heat? You know, I don't expect you to explain the technology, but is,
well,
it electricity?
Yeah, and what I can say is that our ceramic heaters in our saunas, the problem with old-fashioned saunas is that they would let off electromagnetic radiation. And ours have a patented technology that there's virtually zero radiation from our ceramic panels, which is really wonderful, because in the past people would think, I'm doing something good for myself, I'm taking a sauna, yet they're exposing themselves to high levels of electromagnetic radiation, which is very dangerous and causes cancer, and everyone knows the problems with that. So as far as the technology, that is cutting edge, to have the lower, almost zero emissions of electromagnetic, radiation in our sauna. So that you really are doing something healthy for yourself.
And then, you have food products too.
Yes, we have superfoods. The superfoods is the new buzzword for high in antioxidants, helpful to the human body, keep you from getting cancer, all of those things that try to get rid of free radicals. So we have vegetarians and vegans who come in to buy our special protein powder, which is recommended by David Wolf, and as far as not having any of the bad stuff in it, like the artificial sweeteners and things like that.
Good. Claire, well, mm-hmm. Good luck with everything, and thank you for bringing the message and for bringing the Oasis Wellness Center to our community.
Well, thank you for letting me speak.
You're welcome, and continued success and good luck, and we'll post that contact information on our website as well. It's oasis-wellness.com. And again, if you have something that you'd like to promote or something that you'd like to get the word out, please, we are all ears. You can contact us via the website at mariasanchezshow.com. Have a fabulous day. Look forward to visiting with you tomorrow. And thank you for listening to The Maria Sanchez Show.